Did you ever get into a place where you just want to shake someone and say, shut up and listen? You just want to say, will you shut up and listen? You know, they'd be so busy with all kinds of other things and entanglements and all kinds of things going on and whatever. And somebody just won $1 million and you're trying to go up to them and say, listen, I just want all of this money. Would you just shut up for a minute and let me tell you about it? Well, see, we need to be that way about somebody else too. Amen. You know, when somebody comes knocking on your door, you always go, who's there? Well, there's somebody there, and with that somebody, there's always a name. Amen? There's a name. And names represent many things. Every one of us has been labeled with a name in representation of some kind of who we belong to. Amen? Tradition, things to that degree. Every name has a specific meaning. Amen? And there are many beliefs in many names. There are many religions associated with names. They've got Allah, Muhammad, they've got Buddha. They've got, there's all kinds of names. But none of those names ever lived. Every one of those names died. You know, there are still people and they're trying to bring back that name, but it ain't going to work. But there's a name that's above every name. There's only one name that rose from the dead. Amen. That's it. Only one name. Only one name answers when the door knocks and you say, who's there? He's the only one that can answer, because all the other names are dead. There's only one name that raises the dead. There's only one name that can stop the sea from coming into the land. There's only one name that can hold time and increase it. And there's only one name that allows an individual to enter into an eternal realm. Every other name leads to hell. There's only one name above all names. That can bring life. That can remove powers of darkness. You know, I was watching the other day. I just was flicking the station. And there was somebody talking about, house cleaning of demonic forces, these evil spirits, you know, haunted houses. And usually I won't watch any of that. And the Lord quickened me and said, watch this. And I started watching some of it, and I thought, my goodness, what a bunch of idiots. They got all of these psychics. They all just call them psychos. It's real easy. And they're inviting all of these spirits, and they think they're spiritual. Well, they're so spiritual that they're blinded. And they're using all of these other rituals. This one guy's brother was demon possessed, and he was trying some old thing that his mother taught him: fill a glass and put it on top of his head or something. And you know, it was really strange. And then they got all these psychics walking through the house and saying, "Yep, there's demons here." And then they do all of these rituals, and they believe that the powers of darkness leave. These demons leave. These houses that are haunted. Oh, yeah, they're cleaned up now. They leave, and those demons are still there. In fact, the only ones that are moving it are people that moved in there, and now they're moving out. See, there's only one name that can truly have dominion over demonic activity. There's only one name. And it's a name that's above every name, and his name is greater. Amen. His name is greater, and his name is Jesus. The name above all names. Now, I want to talk a little bit about his name today. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Would you go to Leviticus? Now, before we even go to the Bible, when I called out on the name of Jesus 14 years ago, He's the only one that showed up. He's the one that touched me, changed me, healed me, and delivered me. And the first words out of his mouth was, that Bible is true. Because, see, I never believed in the Bible. Everybody always told me it was a story. I get people that tell me, yeah, I hit my knees and I pray to God. And I said, and I'll share with them things about the Bible. Well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, you're praying to the wrong God then. Because my God says his word was manifested. And there's a testimony of people who've called on his name, who he worked through, what he has done with them. And there's testimony of him being here. And that's in the Bible. So before we even go any further, I want you to understand that this word is absolute truth. Amen? It is not a theory. It's not an assumption. It's not a could be, may be, and will be. It always is. It always was. And it's never going to move. Does everybody understand? The word of God is the Bible. And this whole book is about a revelation of a creator who loves. This whole book is about a revelation and about the man, the God man, the God that would become man and dwell among his own creation. That's what this whole book is about. But it's not just a book, because it was written by the Spirit of God. It was for me and you and others to read about. It's a testimony of individual lives who have been touched by God, changed, and served him. But it could not be done without a loving God. Amen? A loving God. And the only name that rose from the dead, the only name that moves demonic activities, the only name is Jesus, the name above all names. In the book of Leviticus, would you go there with me, please? Leviticus 24, in verse 10. Now the son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and this Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. So they got in a fight. The Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. So they brought him to Moses, and the mother's name was Shilamite, the daughter of Debrai in the tribe of Dan. Then they put him in custody that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take outside the camp him who has cursed, and then let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Now, that's pretty wild, isn't it? That's Old Testament. You know how many people are blaspheming the Lord now and use his name in vain? There wouldn't be too many people left on this earth, would there? That's what you call grace, huh? But in the Old Testament, those who used the name of the Lord in vain were killed. They were what? They were killed. Why? Because it's the name that's above all name. It's a holy name. Holy. I thank God for his mercies and grace now. But in the New Testament, go to Matthew 12. Oh, hallelujah. It's amazing how people just speak and, you know, don't even realize what they're doing. Of course, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In Matthew 12 and verse 31, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So we see here now that anything against the Holy Spirit now you got to understand, I want to share with you about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a representation now in the area where when somebody dies without accepting the Lord, without accepting the name above all names, Jesus, they go to hell. Because everything is forgivable. Has everybody got it? Anytime you commit sin and you ask God for forgiveness, you're forgiven. Even so, many of us have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Because of things we didn't know. We saw, you know, when we turned on TVs years ago, you saw all these evangelists laying hands on people and going, oh, what an idiot. Come on, they're just asking for money. Or, you know, I just don't believe in it. That's just a bunch of garbage. But when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you were forgiven. So blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is when an individual does not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and dies. Does everybody get it? I'll show you why. First of all, we know that the Holy Spirit came over a woman and impregnated her. Her name was Mary, right? And the child that was born was birthed without a physical father. And, of course, there was nobody else that was born that way either. Amen? And because of that, we know that the father of Jesus was the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get it? Because the Holy Spirit's the one that birthed Mary. Hello. So if we know that Jesus is the Spirit of God that came into the natural realm, that's why he's called the Christ. So when they did not accept his name and died, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Do y'all get it? And then where did they go? Hell. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. You know, there's sometimes when I believe that we take the name of Jesus too common. Do you know what, when you call on the name of Jesus, he looks at you? When you say Jesus, he says what? He looks right at you. You know, there's too many times when we pray and do it in the name of Jesus, we don't realize what's really happening. See, behind that name, there better be faith. Or else, you know, when people do requests and so forth, you know, without faith mixed with the word, the Bible says nothing comes to pass. Right? In 2 Corinthians in chapter 3 and in verse 14, is everybody there? It says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the what? The Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in Christ. In what? Christ. So who's removing the veil? Jesus. Has everybody got it? And Christ means anointed one. So it's the anointing that removes the veils off the eyes of an individual, isn't it? That's why it's so important about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. To the what? Lord. But now the Lord is the what? Say it again. The Lord is the what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty, or there is freedom. So you got to understand again, and I just wanted to come back, that when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, he impregnated Mary. A child was born of the Spirit, not of a natural father. And the name that was given to that child was a name that was above every name. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. So now when somebody rejects Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, when they die, they have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And they cannot be forgiven. Does everybody get it? That's why people go to hell. Because that sin is the only unforgivable sin there is. And what is the sin? By not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Does everybody understand that? Okay? So, when you break covenant with God, are you rejecting Jesus? Yes. Does everybody get that? So when you break covenant with God, are you rejecting Jesus? Yes, you are. So can an individual that breaks covenant with God, when they die, go to hell? Yes. Why? Because they blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get it? Why? Because they broke covenant. Because to maintain covenant with God, hello, you've got to walk according to His will. And the name of Jesus is always available. Glory to God. Are y'all all right? Go to Revelation 1 and verse 7. It says, behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, and even they who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. And He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The what? Almighty. In other words, He says, I am the beginning and the end. In other words, He's the creator of time. The creator of time. Turn to Isaiah 9. So when you call on the name of Jesus, His eyes are on you. The name, above all names, His name is greater. Isaiah 9. Is everybody there in verse 6? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see here that Isaiah was prophesying about a child that would be born. Come into the natural realm where there will be a government known as a kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom, not a temporary one. Amen? And He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do you know that there are organizations still claiming that Jesus is the Savior, but He's not God? Well, how can... There's only one Savior. He'd have to be God. Because nobody could save this wretched thing. Only God could. Amen? But there are organizations that are saying, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, but He's not God. Because they don't get it. Amen? They don't get it. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 6. Would you read it with me? This is He who what? Came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Now I want you to look at this. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one. So if the Holy Spirit came to earth, would the Father come? Yes, would the Word come? Now, you notice it doesn't say Son there, right? Because at this period of time, the Son was not manifested. Okay? Because He became Son when He came into the natural realm. And there, in verse 8, it says, there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. So we understand when God came into the natural realm, He called Himself Jesus, God who became man, birth of the Spirit. Turn to John chapter 1. We really want to get a recognition and an honor under the name that's above all names, so that when we begin to speak this name and say this name, something happens. There was a powerful testimony that somebody gave me. In fact, I read this book, and I met the author of the book, and this author met the person that she wrote about the book. And it was about a gentleman that was born in Africa, and his family had been witches and witchcraft and so forth ever since tradition. And when he was a young boy, his father took him into the deep bush jungles of Africa, and these demons manifested, and he began to introduce them to these powerful, strong demons. And the son became acquainted with them. And eventually, the son was able to, and he was getting ready to inherit all things from the father. And the son was able to change himself into certain reptiles. And he would, and the testimony talks about, and you can read in the word too, about how there were certain chambers in the earth of Satan's kingdom. And he would go into the ocean and go underneath the floor of the ocean. And there would be chambers of Satan's kingdom. And he would translate himself into these areas. And he talked about how he turned himself into an alligator and spew on a child. And the family was trying to grab this child, but it was too slippery. And he took that child and off that child to Satan. And how many people he killed. And he said that when he was in the throne and the chambers of Satan's kingdom, and he said it's military. He said it's all military, and Satan tries to copy the things of God's throne. There's 24 what they call elders there in his throne room, just like there is in the Lord's throne room. And he said they're big ugly creatures. And there's all sorts of walks. In fact, there are individuals that are demonic forces that are down there that are representing individuals in high offices of government to where they've sold their soul out for wealth and all sorts of things. And when he was down there, he used to stay down there, he said, up to 6 to 8 months. And he would boast to the demons, and he'd say to them, you know, I'm the only human that's ever come down here and stayed down this long. And he would boast to them, and finally one day one of the demons said to him, you're not the only one. And he said, I want to meet this person who had come down here besides me. And the demons told him, he said, we can't introduce you to him. And he said, why? I want to know his name. Tell me his name. I'll search him out when I go back up to the surface. And he said, we cannot mention his name here. He said, why? Because every time we mention his name, hell shakes for 2 weeks. See, they couldn't even mention his name. And I wanted to share that because I want you to understand that when you mention the name of Jesus, hell shakes. Demonic forces shake. See, but if you don't get this revelation in your spirit, you are not doing it in faith. Now, if these powers of darkness couldn't even mention his name in hell, what about here? Just think what you're shaking here when you use the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. So we just said that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit are one, right? Okay, let's start at John 1:14 then. And it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and behold his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh, right? Now go back to verse 1. It says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whoa. Now remember, we just said that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit are one. So we know that the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was God, right? And the Word is God. Now, the Word became flesh, didn't it? The Word came into the natural realm. Does everybody got it? And in verse 18, it says, No one has seen God as at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now, I want you to look at, you know, because we, our little peanut brains can only comprehend so much. I want you to look as an individual. An individual, so you see, because we can only look in human terms sometimes. We can't comprehend the fullness of what's what. You know, did you ever, anybody ever fly in a plane? Or did you ever look down and look at one house? And you know there's people in that house. And as you start cruising, you see gazillion houses and a gazillion people, and it's like, ah! And you know God's speaking to every one of them at one time, you know, and it's kind of hard to comprehend. And you just can't. But it says that the Son of God was in the bosom of God. So God himself, the Bible says that you and I live and have our being and breathe in God, right? So the whole universe was created by God, and it is God. He took a chunk of time out of an eternal realm and created time. That's why there's a beginning and an end. And it's all held together by the word of God, and the name of God is what keeps it going. Does everybody got it? Now, in this, God took from him. God said, okay, I'm going into the earth, but I maintain all things so I can be anywhere I want. See, Muhammad, Allah, and Buddha, they are not omnipresent. In fact, they're not present at all. See, omnipresent doesn't mean being at all places at the same time. Omnipresent means being in from the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. So there's only one who is eternal. Everything else is temporary. So the name above all name is associated with something that is eternal. The name of Jesus represents that which was, which is, and which is to come. Not just something in all places at one time, but all times. Unlimited. So God himself said, I'm going into time. I'm going into the place that I created where there's a beginning and the end. Now, if I go into the place that there's a beginning and an end, that means I must end also, because I'm entering into a temporary realm, even though I am eternal. But this is the only way that I can pay the price so my people can enter into my eternal place. Amen? So he took from himself in his bosom, and he took a part of himself and came into the natural realm and called himself Son. And then he gave him a name. Does everybody understand it? That way there would be no more counterfeit. And that name rose from the dead. He let death take him, because he has control over death. And he rose from the dead, right? And anyone who was willing to accept him now, through that name, had access into eternal realm and eternity. Not only were they granted eternity and salvation, but now they are granted dominion and power so that heaven would be established on earth through the same spirit as Christ. Now we have the spirit of Christ. Does everybody get this? So that way, now all things have been granted to us, and we have dominion over all things, that things are being restored in its original state according to the will of God in us and through us. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Okay, we know that God manifested his word, right? God is word. So, when somebody mentions something to you, in other words, everything that's coming out of my mouth can be written down, can it? Amen? So they're words, aren't they? Well, if God had to manifest his word, he had to manifest his name, because his name represents a word. Does everybody get that? So that's why there's only one name above all names, because there was only one name that was associated with the eternal God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want to go to Exodus 3. Now, I'm utilizing the Word of God as a confirmation that what is being spoken here is true. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 13. And now, the Lord appeared to Moses, didn't he? Amen? Now, a burning bush, we know, appeared. And then Moses was led to the light. And then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Hello? What do I say to them? Now you got to remember, this is in the Old Testament, isn't it? Because his name was not manifested in the natural realm yet. So we got to understand something. And God said to Moses in verse 14, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Now, I am represents all that is and all that could be. I am. In other words, I am. We've talked about the word Jehovah is not the name of God. It's a representation that says this is God. Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah, Nisa, Jehovah. In other words, my provider. When he said, I am the provider. I am the deliverer. I am the healer. I am the creator. I am that is all. There isn't anything else that I am. I am he who was, who is, and whoever will be. In other words, I hold everything. So when Mary was rocking Jesus in her arms, she thought she was holding a child. But he was holding her. Because he is. See, he was here before anything. Do y'all get it? The Bible says that you and I were predestined. So if you and I were predestined, he had to come already and do something before we even came. He prepared everything already. He came before us and set it all up so that we can walk into it. Oh, hallelujah. So when he said, "I am," now they used to say Yahweh, right? Because his name was really not manifested in the natural realm yet. So they couldn't cast out devils in the name of Yahweh or I am. They didn't raise the dead in I am. Do you understand that? So the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and they spoke, didn't they? God spoke to many people by dreams and visions and sending angels. And the Spirit would come upon the prophets and so forth. So the name was really not granted to anyone yet to utilize in representation of eternal realm or heaven. Does everybody get this? Good. Hallelujah. Now, go to John 5. John chapter 5. Oh, yes, when we use this name, it's going to be different. John chapter 5 and verse 43. Now, Jesus is speaking. And he says something very powerful. "I have come in my Father's name." Whoa, wait a minute. "I've come in my Father's name." You got to remember something. Jesus was the Word that became flesh. And because he was a Word that became flesh, a name had to become flesh. So when God said, "I'm going in the natural realm, man. I'm going to cut all this garbage off. I'm going to show them the way. I'm going to leave my business card. No one's going to get to me except for through the business card I leave. I got a specific phone number, 1-800-GOD. It's actually 1-800-JESUS. In other words, I'm going to stop all this foolishness and this falseness and all this counterfeiting. And I'm coming into the world. Amen. I'm coming into the world. And so when Jesus came into the world, he says, "Listen, I didn't come on my doctrine." He says, "I don't do anything on my own. What I hear, I do." Because he was God. who holds all things, but took a part of himself and came to the natural realm. And so that he would become the example for me and you in relationship. This is how God wanted a relationship. Amen. And he said, listen, verse 43, I have come in my Father's name. What's the Father's name? Jesus. Do you get it? And you do not receive me. If anyone comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? That's why when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he said, what did the Lord say? You shall not, what? Well, the first thing he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he was telling Satan about life. He was telling him about the word that became flesh. Then he tempts him again, right? And the Lord says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. See, Satan didn't know he was talking about him. I am the Lord your God. Why are you tempting me? Amen? Do y'all get that? So, because see, he was there. You shall not tempt me. And then he finally said to him, you shall only worship the Lord your God. In other words, because he tried to offer him all these things, wanted him to worship him. He said, there's only one that you shall worship, and that is the Lord your God. In other words, why aren't you not worshiping me? Then he said, away! See, only he could remove him. Y'all get it? Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because the name was manifested in the natural realm. Go to, while we're here, go to John 10. See, we've got to stop the mindset that the name was just the Son of God. We've got to go beyond the Son of God because the Son of God was manifested to bring the name. Hello? Good. Ooh. In John chapter 10, in verse 25, are you with me? Come on, let's read this together. And Jesus said to them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Go, come on, what's the verse 30? I and my Father are one. Whoa! I and my Father are what? They are one. Wow. So now Jesus starts to proclaim, listen, me and the Father are one. I have manifested the Father's name. And only through this name can there be eternal life because he's the one who holds eternity. Amen? Okay, go to John 12. We're going to settle this once for all, man. It's amazing how the devil causes all sorts of confusion and deception. Because his greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. So I want you to understand something, that things that I may mention of organizations or religions or fellowship is not against them. It's just to expose. Does everybody understand that? Because God says something very important. He says he desires no one to perish. No one. So if there is a Jehovah Witness, Jehovah means God. Just like K-Pasa means what's happening. Does everybody get it? It's their language. Jehovah means God, provider, God, Jehovah Nisa, and there's all sorts of names of God. But when Jesus came, it all came in one. See, so now I am, everything has come in. You don't have to specifically speak Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah whatever, meaning God the provider, God the healer, God the banner. Does everybody understand it? When you say Jesus, it's all the names at one time in one breath because he came into the natural realm and brought us everything. Everything. So you're not a Jehovah Witness. Hallelujah. You are a witness of truth and power. You are a witness of the one who came into the natural realm, who cast out devils, laid hands on the sick, and the kingdom of God was manifested. That's what you're a witness of. You are a witness of truth. Ooh, glory. Are we at John 12 yet? In verse 12. John 12, verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Now, is that powerful or what? So here Jesus comes in the name of the Lord, doesn't he? Because he is the name. Now go to verse 27. Read that with me. "Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour." Go, verse 28. "Father, glorify your name." And what was the name they were yelling there? Jesus or Yeshua. Amen? Oh, praise God. Go to verse 42. Verse 42 through 50. Let's read it. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." So they couldn't mention the name of Jesus. They were Jehovah'd out. "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." That's why. You know, they feared the name of Jesus because they were being exposed. "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me.'" Why? Jesus never brought glory to himself. He brought glory to the Father, who he was. "And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." His first coming was to save the world. His second coming will to judge the world. "He who rejects me does not receive my words, has that which judges him. And the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Wow. Wow. John 17 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them that I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is off except the one son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Wow. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is what? Truth. Wow. Yep. Go to verse 25. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Go to chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Praise God. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Now when he had said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So here is Jesus in the garden. He's waiting to turn himself in so that he can fulfill the scriptures. Judas shows up with all of these dudes because he just got paid some silver. And all these guards show up and whatever with weapons. And Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am he." When he said, "I am," they all flew back. You think they'd get it then? No, they got up, shook off the dust, picked up their swords, put it all back. Of course, Peter wasn't going to hang. He wasn't going to take any of this. He pulled out his sword and cut off one of the dude's ears. Jesus picked it up, slapped him on the back on the dude's head again, said, "Come on, Peter, put that away." Yeah, I mean, you think these soldiers would have got it? Come on. You don't think they would have ran out of that place? No, because things are being fulfilled. Amen. So even Jesus, when he said, "I am," so I want you to understand, when you say Jesus with faith behind it, those powers of darkness move back. They move back. Why? Because you are utilizing the "I am." See, you are because he is. And because he's granted you that name. But it's not a name that's just got to stop being misused. It's a name that declares truth and opens the door to eternity. Is everybody with me? Oh, praise God. Now, listen, I want to show you something. Go to Mark 14, because when Jesus said, "I am," something happened. Mark 14. Oh, hallelujah. Are you all right? Mark 14. Glory to God. In verse 46. Is everybody there? Now he's in the garden again, and or this is the same, except for it's coming from Mark. his view. And in verse 46, it says, then they laid hands on him and took him, right? Is everybody with me? And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest. Cut off his ear. She said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Man, didn't you get it? Here it is. Slap it on his head. He who has an ear, let him hear. Hey, brother, you don't hear. Okay. And then Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all forsook him and fled. Now look at this, is powerful. You remember when Jesus said, I am? And they all flew back? Something happened. See, because they were near the garden, but there was tombs. And when Jesus said, I am, not only did they fly back, but he rose people from the dead. Watch this, in verse 51. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and young men laid hold of him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Wow. What had happened? When Jesus said, I am, other people rose from the dead. Why? Because they were wrapped in linen. So here are these young boys that had died. They rose from the dead, and they came because they were naked. And one of them had a linen, and the other took the linen, and they all ran. Do you understand that? When Jesus said, I am, those that were in the tomb that were dead rose. Y'all get it? That's what these young boys were that followed. And they, what did they do? They followed him. Hallelujah. Do you get it? So they were in the tomb dead. And when Jesus said, I am, and all of those soldiers fall back, others rose. They were right near there. I don't know how many. It doesn't say. It says that there was, and he left a linen cloth and fled from there naked. So I don't know. But there was a few of them. Does everybody see that and understand that? Okay, you all right on that? You got it? Good. Hallelujah. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under earth. See, when you say the name of Jesus, everything shakes. If there is truly faith behind it, you must begin to understand and utilize it, that when you say the name of Jesus, hell shakes. All natural realm shakes. And all of heaven acknowledges. Oh, glory. Did everybody get it? And that, in verse 11, oh, let's read verse 10 together. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me share with you, every human will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether they're in hell or not, they will be brought from hell and stand before God and confess him his Lord and be sent into eternal darkness. Because they'll know who their creator is. Has everybody got it? Praise God. And his name is above all. So if his name is above all names, then his name is above every label. So is it above sickness? Is the name of Jesus above the name of cancer? Yeah. Is the name of Jesus above the name of poverty? Is the name of Jesus above the name of fear? See, if you don't get this, nothing happens. That's why things aren't happening sometimes. Because the revelation must be imparted that you know that the name above all names, when you say the name of Jesus, that God Almighty is behind you. And all sickness and disease must go. The name that is above every name. It does not come back void. Amen? Because the Bible says, and God sent his word and it will not return void. His name is not coming back void. His name is the word, and the word penetrates the spirit, soul, and body. When you say the name above all names. Hey, listen, remember when Lazarus was dead? And Jesus said, go ahead, you roll away the stone. I'll call him up. He said, Lazarus, what was calling him? The name above all names was calling that who was dead to become alive. Amen? Ooh, glory. Go to John 14. John chapter 14. His name is greater. His name is greater. Glory. John 14. Is everybody there? Verse 5 and 6. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through the Father. In other words, Jesus left his calling card. God Almighty. 1-800-JESUS. Toll free. See, when you ask anything in the name of Jesus, it's like pulling the trigger on a gun. Bam. It's sent. It's acknowledged. Why? Because every time you say Jesus, he looks. He looks. Did you ever hear the story about the child that cried wolf? See, unless we have faith behind that name, nothing happens. The Bible says that nothing happened because when the word was preached, they didn't mix faith with it. So faith is not mixed with the name above all names. Nothing happens. It's like when you ask for something according to his will, you know it's going to happen. You must wait, expect, and trust, because you utilize the name above all names. Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. But it's got to be according to his will. Amen? See, what happens is people give up. They just let it fly, and God's trying to get it going, and then the person turns their back on the Lord. See, when you quit, God quits. Do you get this? He's faithful when you're faithless. What does he do? He's faithful to return it. He's faithful to restore it. He's faithful to get it again once you stop turning your back on him. So everybody's going, oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, this in the name of, oh, thank you, Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Everybody turns around and walk away. And it doesn't come to pass because it's not mixed with faith. See, faith is the anchor that holds on now. That's the lifeline. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So we know that the Father and the Son are one. There's only salvation in the name of Jesus, right? There's only one name that anyone can enter into the eternal realm. Go to Mark 16. So nobody goes to the Father except for through the Son, and that's in the name of Jesus. So Allah ain't getting you home. Muhammad's not getting you home. Baal's not getting you home. No ritualistic, no nothing is getting you home except for the name above all names, Jesus. That's your ticket to the bus. When it comes and picks you up. You got the card, name above all names, and you got the 800 toll-free number. You have dominion and authority. All things are reestablished in his name because of the price he paid for you. The name above all names. The greatest name. His name is greater. In Mark 16, is everybody there? Mark 16, 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name. Wow. So believe means to follow. In my name they will what? Cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can't do that in any other name. Because there's only one name attached to eternity. And that's Jesus. Because Jesus is the name of the Father. Has everybody got it? The Father became flesh. The Word became flesh and came into the natural realm. So if the Word became flesh, the Spirit became flesh. If the Spirit became flesh, the Father became flesh. If the Word became flesh, the name had to become flesh. Everything was available to all mankind now and anyone who believes and chooses to follow. There is healing in this name. There is deliverance in this name. There is fellowship in his name. There is restoration in his name. There is prosperity in his name. There is joy in his name. There is love in his name. I'm going to close it, Revelation 19. I have so much of this. There is protection in his name. Amen. In Revelation 19, and in my name they will cast out demons. Oh, yes. Instead of being the hunted, you're now the hunter. You know, one of the things is, you know, when I was in the world and trying to avoid all of my troubles, we had a tendency to run. You know, we would run. Well, we'd run from one location to another, a relationship, this, that, whatever, change jobs. But we never turned around and fought. Because you cannot outrun the devil. He'd kick your butt. You cannot outrun the enemy. You must turn around and fight him. You remember David and Goliath? Amen? He said, he told Goliath, sticks and stones may break my bones. But your words will never hurt me. He said, listen, you come with the sword and stuff, and I come in the name of the Lord. And he cut off that overgrown demon's head. And all the Philistines booked. See, you've got to stop coming in your own strength and start coming in the one who paid the price. See, we so rely on ourselves so many times we don't even realize it. It's not your faith. Does everybody understand it? It's not how much you've done. Because if your trust is truly in him, you're mixing it with faith when you speak his word. See, because you already know what's going to happen. That's why it's important to stay filled with the Spirit. Amen? If you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with faith. Revelation 19. Is everybody there? In verse 11, would you read it with me? Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Why is the name called the Word of God? Because it was the Word that became flesh. And his name is Jesus. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he who has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jeremiah 33:3 it says, call me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And that's the name above all names, Jesus. When you call on him, he looks towards you. It's like when you call somebody and they say, yes, what can I do? You call them on the phone and say, hello? When you say Jesus and you mix that name with faith, he backs it. Amen? Remember, Yahweh and Jehovah were Old Testament names for God. His word and his name became manifest, and his name is Jesus. His name guarantees the way, truth, and life to the Father with no counterfeits. No counterfeits. He wants to express himself in and through you and I. The name above all names, Jesus, will never fail. Never. Amen. Father, we thank you for your name. Lord, I pray, and we ask for forgiveness right now, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for using your name in vain. When we've used your name and didn't expect. When we've used your name for selfish gain. When we've used your name not mixed with faith. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Please. Search us through, remove those things in the area where we've associated your name in wrong places with wrong motives and wrong desires. And reestablish today, Lord, your name in us and through us. Quicken us to the area where we use your name with authority, dominion, and faith, knowing that you back it and you are faithful to complete what you started. Lord, we commit all things to you, and we call on the name above all names, Jesus. Everyone say Jesus.
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 You know what's happening? He's looking at you right now. He's looking at you right now saying, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? See, now you mix that with faith, and he's doing it. He's doing it right now. Whatever it is, he's doing it. Thank you, Master.